Good morning. This is the Game Fish and Parks Radio Show. I am Bryce McVicker, and with us today is Mike Klazowski. Thanks for coming today, Mike.
Good morning.
Well, looks like we've had a couple nice days here in a row, but maybe tomorrow that's all going to change.
I've been happy that it warmed up, because having that severe of cold weather that early, it just shapes up for wildlife depredation issues and wildlife kill issues with that bad weather. So I'm hoping things will turn around a little bit, warm up, not get too much snow, and we eke through another winter.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the resource biologists out of the Webster office the other day, and I said, you know, I don't mind if we get quite a bit of snow. Maybe it'll fill up some of these sloughs and stuff. And he goes, I really just don't want to put up a whole bunch of panels this year to keep deer out. And I said, well, that's a good point. That's probably a much different perspective than what I have, because yeah. I'm not in charge of putting out panels to keep deer out of feed yards and that kind of thing. So since right. I've been here in Watertown, we really haven't had any kind of extensive deer depredation issues in the winter, but yeah, there's definitely potential out there. If we get a lot of snow, we're going to have issues.
Yeah, you know, I think back to 2010, 2011, that winter, we had a record-breaking snowfall here in the Watertown area, and we it was all hands on deck kind of deal with the deer coming into the stack yards and food supplies that landowners have out for cattle. And I can remember getting out to those places early in the morning to try to shoo them out of there, get out there, park on the road so that they don't, you know, come from the neighboring property into the farmyards. And of course, you had depredation hunts, you had late season tags that were valid, so you had a lot of coordination going on. And then, of course, putting up panels so that wildlife would stay out of those food supplies. And it gets to be a lot of work, and it's extremely expensive to do that. So.
And irritating for the landowner. Yeah, so a lot of things going on there. I guess now that I've heard that perspective, I guess I won't wish for any more snow. But one thing's for sure, the super cold temperatures that we have did make for probably some of the best early ice conditions that I've seen in a few years. A lot of places were double-digit ice, upwards of 15 inches. Talked to some of the officers up in Webster. Wabe is one of their busier lakes up there, and they're looking at 12 to 15 inches of ice all over Wabe. So we're not even to January 1st yet, and a lot of vehicles and a lot of permanent shacks on the ice, and that's much, much different than what we saw last year. A couple things moving into this ice fishing season. We touched on it last week, but cleaned fish on the ice is probably going to be by far the biggest topic. As most of you know, that in the past it has been illegal to clean fish on the ice, or even if you were going to bring cleaned fish from home to your ice shack and cook fish out there, that was all illegal. All that stuff has changed this year. We had a rule change, and it will now be legal to clean and eat fish on the ice. I think that's going to be pretty exciting, especially for non-residents and folks maybe from Sioux Falls that are coming up here and enjoying the lakes in the Northeast, staying for a couple days, not staying at a hotel, wanting to catch fish and eat them. It should be pretty convenient. I guess, what are some of the things, Mike, this rule is going to entail? Like you said, it's going to be legal for them to clean fish on the ice. What's going to be the most convenient way to do that?
Yeah, you bet. You know, like you mentioned, the prompting of this rule change really comes with technology changes with how anglers are out there. You know, they come up on a Thursday and they don't leave the ice until Sunday. Previously, we had a rule that stated that you could only have one daily limit of fish on the ice at any one time. So a person would call, or you would do an inspection on the ice, and they would have their possession limit, or they'd have the question, what do I do with these fish, because tomorrow I want to catch my limit again. And previously we'd have to tell them to bring them to shore, and that may or may not be feasible. They may be able to bring an additional vehicle to shore. They may be able to put them in a snowbank on shore somewhere, but that caused all kinds of issues and really wasn't a valid avenue to go down. So we did have that change. Does a couple different things. Allows a possession limit of fish on the ice. This rule change does not allow an angler to catch more than their daily limit in any scenario on any lake during the winter time. But what it does allow, if a person is fishing out past midnight, and let's say they're just spending the night, we'll give the example of they come out on Friday In the morning, they do really well. They get their 15 perch on Friday, and now on Saturday, they want to get another 15 perch. What they can go ahead and do is on Friday, they catch their perch. On Saturday, they catch their perch. They now are at their possession limit, and that would be legal to have them all out on the ice. What we are asking anglers to do is to go ahead and take that first day's limit and kind of separate those out. Maybe you want to put them in a cooler. Maybe you want to put them in a vehicle. That just helps if you get in, if there's an inspection, to go ahead and count those fish. Another thing it does is it allows for people to clean their fish and prepare them for transport or even consumption right out on the ice. So the example would be you're out on Bitter Lake and you catch, you know, your limit of perch on a Saturday and you want to have a fish fry because you have a kitchen in your fish house. You can go ahead, clean those fish. You can fry those fish up. Again, you cannot catch more than your daily limit at any point in time out on a lake, but what it does do is it allows you to go ahead and have that fish fry out there or prepare those fillets for transport. In addition, if you are going to prepare those fillets for transport and clean those fish, they need to be readily countable. If they're frozen, they need to be packaged two fillets per bag so that they can, again, be easily counted. In addition to that, we do not want people to cut fillets up to prepare them for transport either. So we're asking that they keep those fillets whole, package them again if they're going to be frozen separately so that they can be easily counted.
Yeah, so basically the cleaning fish on the ice is what changed. The transportation laws and everything are completely the same. Those are just like they were in the past. Nothing has changed there. So if you were going to go, let's say, go out to the Missouri River and catch fish and bring those back, and you came through a road check and those fish were in a frozen block, then that would be illegal. If those fish were cut up into multiple pieces, then that would also be illegal. But if you transported your fish, one piece equals one fillet, and they're not frozen and they're readily countable, that's perfectly fine. If you want to freeze them, it needs to be froze one fish per bag. Another thing that we talked about, that Mike, I guess you kind of came up with this idea, but if you have a Ziploc bag, you lay that bag flat, put those fillets in there so they're easily countable, like a little filing system. Put the fillets in there, freeze them solid, and an officer can come in, flip through those Ziploc bags and see exactly how many fillets are in there, and that would be another pretty simple way to store some fish. But we're going to see a lot of different ways that people are storing fish on the ice this year. Main thing is you don't want to have a frozen block of fish. When you're out on the ice, there might be times that you don't even think about them being frozen. You put them all in a Ziploc bag, throw them in a cooler, set them outside your shack. Not really meaning to freeze them, but obviously you're going to have cold temperatures. Those fish are going to freeze. So if you end up getting checked by a conservation officer, you got a frozen block of fish, that's probably going to be an illegal transportation ticket.
Yeah. And another scenario here, too, or another thing to mention, when we talk about anglers are now allowed to clean their fish, prepare for transport or consumption, they can only clean those fish that do not have a water-specific size restriction. And I'll give you an example of what that is. On Bitter Lake, there are no water-specific size restrictions for any fish out there. You can go up to Bitter Lake, you can clean and prepare for transport or consumption any species of fish that are on that lake. Now you go down to Ponset Lake, walleye have a water-specific size restriction of 15 inches. You could clean any species of fish on Ponset Lake to prepare for transport or consumption except walleye. Walleye would still need to be in that whole state. Essentially, you cannot clean them. You can gut them, you could gill them, you could do those items right there, but you would not be able to fillet walleyes on Ponset Lake. You could fillet perch and have a fish fry with those, or fillet them to prepare for transport, but you cannot fillet fish would that have a water-specific size restriction. Luckily, most of the lakes that had water-specific size restrictions were eliminated because they were found to be not functional. They biologically didn't do anything for the lake. So that's one good thing. But we do still have a few of those size restrictions out there. You know, Ponset Lake would be an example. I want to say Enemy Swim still has a size minimum size restriction out there. Reitz Lake has a 1 over 28, so that'd be an example of a lake where you'd not be able to have clean walleyes on the lake. So there's a little bit of change there, but this is, you know, after some of the growing pains like that we have with any kind of regulation change, we really think this is going to be a nice added feature for to allow anglers to prepare those fillets for transport consumption, or not have to in the middle of the night at midnight carry their four walleyes, their previous day's catch, to shore and squirrel them in a snowbank somewhere where it just looks odd to people that are passing by when you have those kind of activities going on. So here we go with those regulation changes. And, of course, if anybody has questions on those, they certainly can contact their local game and fish office. You know, when you look at the people that are out there ice fishing, most of the time this rule change isn't really going to affect the vast majority of people out there. But there are a good number of people out there that are spending the night. You know, last winter when you would look across the lake on Bitter Lake, you'd have 1,000 people out there, and you'd maybe estimate that maybe 200 of them are spending the night or have a sleeper-style shack that they're going to be staying out on. They've just become really popular, and we see quite a bit of that. In addition to the sleeper shacks that people are purchasing, you also have a bunch of different businesses that are popping up that now you can rent a room out on Bitter Lake or Wabe Lake like a motel. You know, they charge by the night. So a lot of different things. I think a lot of other states like Minnesota, Wisconsin have observed these sleeper style shacks out on the lakes for many years, and now they have caught on here too. So
yeah, I think it's going to be a good thing. Like we said, especially the guys that are traveling in, staying for 3 or 4 days, they have no use to go to shore. And if they can stay out there and eat a day's limit of fish, then I think that we can allow them to do that. And I think that will be very, very convenient.
Yeah. And one more thing to mention as well, too, if you do clean your fish out on the ice, you are required to properly dispose of those fish cleanings. So you clean your walleyes, your perch, whatever have you out on the lake, package those up in a garbage bag, take them with you, bring them home, throw them in your garbage can, or if you have access to a garbage disposal up on shore somewhere, throw them there. One thing you cannot do is you cannot throw them down the hole. You cannot leave them out on the ice. So,
very good point. Very good point. Yeah, hopefully we don't run into that a whole lot. That's one thing that is really going to leave a bad name for fishermen if we start seeing a lot of guts and cleanings and things out on the ice. That's a real eyesore for passerbys and non-fishermen, that kind of thing. One other thing, just going back to, like you said, length-specific size limits. So Lake Ponset, if you've got walleye, you cannot clean walleye on that lake. The 1 over 20 inches is not lake-specific, so I know that question came up a lot when we were talking about this with our officers, and it'll probably come up in the public. But there are a lot of places that you'll be able to clean walleye, just the ones that have length minimums, like Mike said, Ponset, Opitz, those kind of things. But the 1 over 20 is not lake specific, so there are places where you'll be able to clean walleye.
Yep, so if a person catches you're out on Bitter Lake and you catch 3 18-inch walleyes and 1 21-inch walleye, and you want to clean them to prepare them for transport, completely legal.
Very good. Are you hearing anything for good ice fishing reports yet?
You know, people are just starting to get out. I live up on Coddington 19, so in the morning when I'm going to work, you see the shacks going north up to Day County. So I know there's a bunch of people out there just starting to try it. But it sounds like if you're out there and you're poking around a little bit, you're going to find some fish. I know I've heard good reports on Wabe, Bitter, Casey Slough, up into those areas, so the fish to be caught.
Very good. Yeah, I've heard quite a few good walleye fishing reports. Ponset's got some good walleye fishing. Goose Lake has had that. Grass Lake, a couple lakes over in Clark County as well. Perch fishing has maybe started off a little bit slower, but Wabe is one of those lakes that's really taken off for perch fishing already this year. Be interesting to kind of monitor that lake as we move through the year and see what kind of reports we continue to have coming off there. Don't really think that we're going to make it through the winter without Ponset really taking off, at least for a couple weeks. So far, it's been slow, but as many perch that are in there, I would say that we're still going to get some really good days of fishing down there. It just might take a little bit for this weather to even out. Yesterday and today could potentially be good ice fishing days on Ponset, especially for those perch. But tomorrow, it looks like we're going to have another decent storm come in, and that might screw things up for the panfish. But good opportunities out there, and as this weather kind of evens out, hopefully we don't get a whole lot more snow for guys to move around out there. But pretty decent ice fishing this early season. And the best part of it is I think we've got pretty safe ice in most spots. Kind of a late season hunting opportunity. Pheasants out there, we've got another week or so of that, but kind of the best time of the year to get out and hit some of that public land that hasn't been hunted in a while. Those birds are really holding up good in the thick cover, and dogs are able to work pretty good with some snow on the ground. And so if you haven't been out pheasant hunting, now's a pretty good time to do that. Anything else that you can think of, Mike? We're kind of coming to the end already.
Yeah, you know, just get on out and enjoy the resources that we have, whether it's fishing or whether it's hunting. Please do it safely. And, of course, if you observe any kind of illegal wildlife activity, give us a call on that TIPS hotline, 1-888-OVERBAG. Also, I also mentioned, too, purchase those new fishing licenses and hunting licenses so that you don't forget. Also, if you haven't downloaded our Game Fish and Parks app, go on to that app store and SDGFP Outdoors, I believe is what you would type in.
Yep.
There is so much information on there, and it's really, really handy. And you can show your license right from your smartphone, and pretty cool technology.
Yeah, we talk about that app quite a bit on this radio show. It's extremely useful. The map setting on it, looking for regulations, looking up pretty much anything game and fish related is all right on that app and really user-friendly. So if you don't have that yet, that's a good point. Download that. And like you said, get those licenses. They are out now. They don't expire until January 31st, the 2016s. But if you want to get ahead of the game, they are available. With that, I hope that everybody has a Merry Christmas, and hopefully Sunday's not near as bad as they're calling for, but we will see you back same time, same place next week.